Steve. Happy Monday, man.
Yeah, man, you as well. You have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was good. Not as good as yours. You got to go camping. I was doing adulting, but it was good.
Nice.
Snuck in some fun. My buddy Jared I elk hunt with, who's from Illinois, he happened to be in town, so our families got together, and it's a good time. Most of the time we see each other, we're in the wilderness, and it's not with the family, so we can get together and just hang out and swim and grill and all that good stuff. It's fun.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So how are you feeling? We did all the Death Hike podcast and recap, but it's actually been 2 weeks we've been on the Death Hike. You feeling normal?
Yeah, I'm back to normal. I got those, like, on both of the outside edges of my heels where I got those blisters. They were really deep under a bunch of, like, calloused skin. And so they don't hurt anymore, but I'm curious what that, like, is that all just going to chunk off at one point? I'm going to have, like, a half-inch hole in my heel? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
I got my feet, we were swimming this weekend, and then you know, your feet get all wet, and then I started like picking at it. It's definitely just a bunch of dead skin. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, just leave it there and hopefully it kind of slowly heals and I'm good to go. But
yeah.
Other than that, feeling great. I know I've talked to a few of the guys, some lingering knee pain, stuff like that, but nothing major.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, my knee's been kind of achy, but I think it's getting dang close to normal, which is exciting. I actually did a bunch of step ups this morning, which was the first, not like the first lower body thing I've done, but the first lot of up down stuff, because I actually tried to do a hike last week and that knee started flaring up as soon as I went downhill. So I was excited to do step ups this morning and not pay for it. So that's good news.
Nice.
This weekend, just in terms of stuff that's coming up, is Steven's Pass, last leg of the Northwest Mountain Challenge. Unfortunately, we won't be there, but things are still happening. The Run Shoot Puke is still happening. We're going to coordinate that with Jeff Lusk, right?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, Jeff will run that for us. He did the one up at Tamarack, so he's super familiar with how it goes. And unfortunately, just last minute stuff came up and I can't make it, but Jeff will be there and get everybody dialed in and go run the course.
Yeah. So if you want to kind of last minute sign up, I know we've already had some signups from the previous mentions we've said of this, but exomountgear.com/run-shoot-puke. If you sign up there, just a little email list, do that before Wednesday morning. I'll get that email list over to Jeff. He can get a message out just to make sure everybody knows where and when to meet and make that happen. Let's see. Also, just a sneak peek. It's something that will be coming up. You know, we have these What's in My Pack videos that we've done, and we've released quite a few over the past several weeks and have quite a few more coming. But we wanted to see what is in your pack, what's in your guys' pack. So we're going to do this in my EXO giveaway. And all the details will be announced, but just wanted to give you guys a heads up so you know it's coming. We'll be giving away an X Amount Gear gift card and some prizes from some of the companies that we love to see gear from. We have a custom Benchmade knife coming, laser etched with the X Amount Gear logo. That's awesome. Just spoke with the guys from Katabatic, who we've just really gotten to know, and they're going to be giving away a quilt. So some prizes that are going to be definitely worth participating, and there's more coming. So stay tuned for the details on that, as well as other prizes that will be coming. But just wanted to mention that that will be coming soon. And it's a fun way to not only see what you guys are up to, see how you use the pack, see what's in your pack, but be also be able to give you guys prizes like that is always super fun. Let's see. Questions, Steve. So we had a listener question, kind of timely as we are doing summer shooting, about the stabilizer length and weight that we run. So I know that you've done testing, I've done testing. What have you settled on in terms of a good combination of length and weight for stabilizer for hunting?
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. I guess just stabilizer in general, it's kind of like, to me, it's one of those trade-off things of what is effective enough to be accurate in the field, but also not be so cumbersome that it's like annoying in the field. It's definitely getting super popular to run sidebars and back bars right now. And for me, just the practical aspect of hunting with that, you know, having that extra thing strapped hanging off the backside of your bow, I don't know. I guess I just struggle with that. I've tried it a little bit. It was just too annoying for me, so I just went back to a normal stabilizer bar. In general, 10 to 12 inches with 5 to 8 ounces of weight on the front seems to be pretty good. I got my, I did go camping this weekend and brought my RX-1 up, and right now I've got a custom spider archery stabilizer. We're selling at S&S, and it's got, I think it's got 6 ounces on the front, and then it's a 12-inch bar. And it's been, it's dialed, holding steady, and shooting great. So I got no complaints. But it's, like I said, it's one of those, I choose to hunt with a multi-pin sight because I think I'm going to be more effective killing an elk when it runs in at 20, spooks, and then whirls around, and you stop it again at 40, and you can shoot. Like, I know at the range I'm more accurate with a single-pin sight. But I think that's going to cost you an animal, and hard to say it. Stabilizers are going to cost you an animal, but if it is kind of bulky and in the way, I definitely could see a scenario where that would be the case.
Yeah, it is tough because I think the sidebar and the weight and the length and all those things that you can add, they work, like they help. I feel it. I've tested quite a few different setups, and obviously standing on the range is one thing, but then carrying that bow around the mountains for a week is a different thing, or having, extra length that gets caught on things when you're moving through brush. Like, it is weighing pros and cons and what you're personally comfortable with. In my mind, there's no doubt that adding length or adding a sidebar or sometimes adding weights can help for sure. I mean, it helps steady the pin, it helps you be accurate, but again, how much of that is worth it? Something I've settled on, which I got a chance to try, and it was one of these things where I saw it, and before I tried it, I'm like, there's no way, this is just like a gimmicky thing, whatever. But I've been running it since I tried it and have absolutely fallen in love with it. And it's one of those telescopic or expanding stabilizers from Crossroads Archery, the crossover. And I don't run the one that's like 3 or 4 pieces that can go way out there. I just have a simple one that runs, when it's compact, it's 10 inches, and then one little quick, loosen up of the twist lock. You can expand that out to 17 inches. It's super light. It's a carbon rod. It's without weight on the end. I think it's like right under 4 ounces. It's 3.8, somewhere in that ballpark. And then I just run another 4 ounces of weight on it. And it works well at that 10-inch range, but then if you wanted to, if you had it on your mind, if you have the time you're taking a long shot, it amazes me that you can feel the difference of just expanding that thing out to 17 inches. And the thing that I thought would be a downside to something like that would be noise or vibration, but it's actually super quiet and super solid, so that's kind of the stabilizer setup I've been running for a year and a half, 2 years. But yeah, it's interesting. It's one of those things where it's almost like boots. It's kind of frustrating to talk about because, like, what might work for us in terms of specific models might not work for you for a whole bunch of reasons, including your bow. Like, different bows sometimes need different weight or different balances, or you might just be in a different place of the length that you want, that you're willing to pack. So it's one of those things where we can make suggestions or tell you what we do, but you ultimately have to go try a whole bunch of stuff.
Yep.
Steve, I'm going to mix it up this week for the full show. I didn't pick out the episode yet on purpose. So we're totally playing the spinning wheel of Steve picks, and I want you to pick what show we're releasing this week.
Okay. Do you give me a list or am I supposed to go off memory?
No, we have a good list, but there's three that came to mind for me. We did this interview with a sports psychologist all about mindset for peak performance. So that's one. We had this discussion all about solo hunting in the backcountry. You and I with Josh Kirchner. So that's two. And then we had this awesome discussion, with Nathan Jones, who's the nephew of Larry D. Jones. And it was just a really interesting conversation. Covered a whole bunch of stuff. So those are the three that came to mind. Which one do you want to run this week?
I think we go sports psychology mindset. If I had to place an importance on those or on all the things, you know, we always talk about how the mind and the mental battle is hands down your biggest struggle. So let's start with that and give guys as much time before hunting season to kind of prepare and implement some of the things he talked about. I remember that was a really, really good episode.
Yeah, cool. So we'll get all three of those out before season, but this week it is mindset for peak performance. Hope you guys tune in to check it out. We talk about kind of like everything from like mental rehearsal and visualization to performing under pressure. It was super interesting that this guest deals a ton with professional and amateur athletes, but didn't know a bunch about hunting. So it was a neat opportunity for us to make these parallels of performing under pressure, whether that's this high pressure sports situation or for us, this rare shot opportunity that we need to then execute. So yeah, tune in for this week's episode, Mindset for Peak Performance. Until then, just as always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any questions for the Monday Minute or anything else like that, be sure to send us an email to podcast@exomountaingear.com.